Lake Effect continues on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Bonnie North. The United States has 59 national parks. Yellowstone was the first one. It was established in 1872. And Pinnacles in California was the most recent, named in 2013. And Becky Lomax has lived and breathed the parks her whole life. Her dad was a park ranger, and as a kid, she and her family would regularly visit Mount Rainier, Olympic, and North Cascade National Parks in Washington. As an adult, Lomax lived outside of Glacier National Park in Montana, where she worked as a backpacking and hiking guide, and that prompted her first guidebook on that park. Later, she added Yellowstone and Grand Teton, and now her most recent guidebook takes on the entire national park system. Lomax joins Lake Effect's Audrey Nowakowski over the phone and starts with a simple rule to follow when you're planning a trip to any national park.
In general, you want to plan, especially for the big national parks, you want to plan a year in advance for some of your trips because the lodging opens up a year in advance and it books out. So it does take some pre-planning for some of the parks to go visit. Others you can just kind of, you know, drop in and out for a day, and some don't even have lodging, of course. But if you want to be inside the park and say the big ones, Yosemite, Yellowstone, Grand Canyon, so forth, you need to make a year, you know, plan a year out. So that's where something like a guidebook really can help out. And then it can show you, here's a couple of parks that might link up together with road trip if you want to connect a couple parks in one trip.
What did you think was missing from other guidebooks that you could address in a better way, especially when it's something so comprehensive as a guidebook to all of the national parks?
Yeah, because that's a lot.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things that we did, because obviously that's a lot of parks to cover, and I have only been to, well, I've been to more than half of them and working my way through them. We used some other moon travel writers who write about their local national parks, and we used some of them to help fill in those pieces that we needed in the book with that local flavor. So people that really know the park, not people that just kind of drop in for a week, do what they can, and then go write about it. These are people that live, like I do, outside of Glacier. We live right next to national parks, and we go there all the time, and we know what works and how to do it and what seasons and so forth. It's a lot of insider information.
As you mentioned, growing up right outside of a park, I can imagine that must have been an incredibly valuable experience for you, not only as a kid, but looking back as an adult and writing these books and exploring more on your own. So what are some of the most valuable perspectives and lessons you learned by being raised by a park ranger and living your childhood throughout some national parks?
Well, first of all, my dad was a park ranger before I was born, and after that, he moved on to other things. But his love of the national parks was something that he passed on to us kids. And I think that is just one of the best gifts that my parents could have ever given me, and the best gift that any parent could give their children, is to give them some of these experiences in the national parks, because they are all so incredibly unique. And what you get to do in them, from scenic drives to hiking, boating, kayaking, sightseeing, wildlife watching, most people come away just totally enriched from having whatever, even if it's a short national park experience, it comes fraught with meaning to them at having had that special moment out there.
As you know, and have experienced, I'm sure, sometimes special moments can be a little dwindled if you have cranky children or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, it's a big thing to plan a national park trip, even if you're on your own. But what are some good parks to take children that can, you know, lessen some of the stressors that are kid-friendly and accessible and not too strenuous, say, of like hikes or activities or things like that?
Well, you know, one of the coolest parks to take kids, I think, is Badlands National Park. And it's in South Dakota. And if you go in summer, it's got a paleontology lab that is open, and they have some kid programs in there. And what kids don't like dinosaurs? I mean, that's kind of a made-for-kid experience there. And then some of the hikes in Badlands are just, they're really fun, short, little boardwalk sections or trails that go out into these crazy, eroded, magical places. And kids really like seeing that type of stuff. Just north of that, in North Dakota, is another, it's less traveled park, but it's got so much wildlife watching in it. And kids love seeing wildlife. And that would be Theodore Roosevelt National Park.
No, I was just there this past summer. I spent a day there.
Awesome, isn't it?
It was great, yeah.
Yeah. Did you get to see the wild horses?
Yes, actually, we were hiking up a path, and coming directly in the opposite direction on that same path was a horse leading a few others. And I have not gotten off a path more quicker in my life. Like, I went straight up that hill. You know, it was a little nerve-wracking.
Oh, yeah. But they are so, you don't get to see wild horses too often, and that's a pretty cool place to be able to see them.
Yeah, it was amazing. And in addition to the bison, and you know you're in a park, but it's definitely off the beaten path.
Yes. And one of the things I recommend for families is every single park has a junior ranger program. So get the kids into that program. And what it is, it's stop in a visitor center, you pick up the junior ranger booklet, and it's for that particular park. So all of the activities in it are educational ones that the kids get to learn about wildlife and the ecosystems and so forth. They fill out the book, do all the projects, take it back to the visitor center, and then a ranger there looks at their work and then swears them in as junior rangers, and they get a badge. And a lot of kids collect these badges.
And that's a great way to keep it engaging beyond there. And with national parks and the visitation, more families are coming, more people are coming, which is great, but that also can have some negative side effects. So, you know, how do you avoid an experience like spending the entire day in a car in Yosemite because you simply can't find a place to park and the roads are only two-way?
That is tricky. Well, one, if you have the option in some of the parks to take shuttle buses and so forth, do that. It just makes it so much easier to get to those trailheads or get to those things that you want to see. The other thing is, if you can plan your day, most people in the national parks are out and about between 9 and 4. So if you can make use of that early morning time or that evening time, you can actually have some really cool short trail hiking experiences or sightseeing experiences or scenic drives, where you're not battling all these cars or people. And that's pretty cool.
So I'm calling here from Wisconsin, and while our state doesn't have a national park, what are some destinations to see near us here in the Great Lakes region?
Well, the closest parks to Wisconsin are about 6 to 8 hours away. They're all different directions, too. So you've got, over in Ohio, you've got Cuyahoga Valley, and that's kind of a historic park. Along the canal system, an old canal system. So there's a wonderful 20-mile trail, the old towpath. You can actually bike and hike. Two other parks, which I call water parks, they're one's in Lake Superior, and that's Isle Royale. And you can go up to the UP and then catch a boat over to Isle Royale, and that's a great place to see moose, go hiking, go paddling, and just enjoy the remoteness there. And the other one is Boisier's National Park up in Minnesota, northern Minnesota, and that's got four giant lakes. And that's a place that's really good for boating and kayaking and fishing. And they have tons of boat-in campsites. So you pile everything, instead of taking the RV out, you pile everything in a boat or a houseboat, and you go to these campsites that are out there kind of remote and can really feel solitude if that's what you want to look for.
Right. And on that note, you know, people may assume if they're doing a national park trip that it is going to be fighting the crowds or getting the kids up out in the car super early in the morning. But there are lots here that people perhaps don't think about exploring right away. So what are some parks that are best for solitudes, either in their visitation frequency or just simply the geographics?
Well, Boisier's is definitely one because it doesn't get the huge crowds. The others would be, you can almost turn any park into a less crowded experience, especially if you can go off-season. And, you know, one of the experiences that I've done it several times, and I'm just blown away every time, is going to Yellowstone in winter. And you take a snow coach into Old Faithful, you spend the night at the snow lodge, And you may be one of 15 people out there watching Old Faithful Geyser erupt.
You've had a lot of experience going to different places, not only professionally, but personally. So I'm curious, what's your favorite national park right now, I suppose, that everyone should visit? I imagine it changes a bit.
Oh, you know, well, it does, because it's always whatever park I'm in at the moment. But, you know, Glacier has to be one of my favorites, and that's partially why I live here. It's just such a rugged, beautiful park, and the mountain scenery, it's so chiseled by glacier. It just is magnificent. And because it's got so many miles of hiking trail, that once you get past about the 3-mile mark, people thin out. And especially backpacking. You can have some incredible backpacking experiences in the park where you're not around tons and tons of people.
There is that juxtaposition when you're out past a certain hiking point where there's not many people compared to some of the busiest parks. How do you recommend people engage with our national parks and nature enjoyably while being respectful and also sustainable? Because dealing with the population and the people coming into the parks, I think, is also going to be a challenge into the future for our national park system.
Totally. And I think one of the things that we need to recognize is every time we go into a park, we are affecting that park. And I think if we can do things like take more public transportation in the park that gets fewer individual cars out there buzzing up and down the roads, I think if we also can limit things like our use of single-use plastics when we're in the park, instead of buying the water in the bottle that you throw away, we can take reusable water bottles. And the parks are putting in water bottle refill stations everywhere now, so it's pretty easy to, you know, to refill those water bottles. And then the third thing I would recommend too, or well, actually two other things. One is absolutely take binoculars when you go. Wildlife watching should be done through binoculars, so you're giving these animals space. And that's for your safety and for their safety. And the last thing is definitely take little bags with you so you can corral all your micro trash, your little bits of wrappers of things and tissue papers and all of those. Make sure that they stay with you and they go back out with you.
What would you say to someone who has never visited a national park? What would you say to encourage them to take that step?
I would say it's a wonderful experience. And what they should do is they'll feel more comfortable is if they plan ahead for their first national park experience and make sure that they take two things along with them. One is water, and then I always have snacks too. But also take, especially for the mountain parks, make sure you take along layers of clothes, because you can be out there and it could be feel like shorts weather, so you're kind of running around in shorts, and then, you know, 3 hours later it's rainy and cold and maybe even snowing.
Well, Becky, your book, USA National Parks, The Complete Guide to All 59 Parks, it's hopefully helpful too to encourage some people to get out and explore, and I want to thank you for taking the time to share a little bit of your knowledge about it with me today.
Thank you so much, Audrey. I appreciate you having me on the show.
Becky Lomax is the author of Moon USA National Parks, The Complete Guide to All 59 Parks. Lomax joined Lake Effect's Audrey Nowakowski by phone, and there's a link to more info about the guide at wuwm.com.
Oh, sleeping.